Good to see everyone this morning. And before I get started, let me tell you how good it is to see Buddy and Kathy and Tracy and Lynn. You know, that ought to motivate us when we pray, when we see answers to prayer come through the doors.
Amen.
And I would say this to you. I thought I said her. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I told my wife this morning I'm just going to get her a whole bag of rocks.
Oh.
You know, it just seems like women. Always want to throw a rock. No matter how good we try to be, Lynn. No matter how much we try to do. There's always a rock coming. I'm just playing. But, so do me a favor. I used to get texts all the time about prayer requests. I still get a few. Don't hesitate to send me a text for a prayer request. Nothing thrills me more than to go to God in prayer. And then to see the results. So it's good to see you folks. It really is. And I know that you've had your struggles, but hey, nothing that God can't bring us through. Now we are in the book of Revelation, and so we've come to the 17th chapter of Revelation. So if you will, turn to Genesis chapter 11. Now, while you are turning there, I gave you three things. See what I mean? There come a rock. Well, Tom. I gave you three things in which they are used to control mankind. Oh, and I see, I love it when somebody says, I know one.
Military. Is that,
military. Wonderful.
Monetary and religiously.
Well, you know, that those M's go together, don't they? Military, monetary, right? But, and that's true, but we'll use economic. But monetary, if you got no money, you got no economy, right? So, those three things the Antichrist is going to use to control mankind. Now, that's not new to Revelation. Let me say that to you. If Revelation is the end, what would you say Genesis is? Yes, the word Genesis itself means origin or beginning. So if it's that way at the end, I don't think it's a big jump to say, well, it must have been that way at the beginning. So hence, that's why I said turn to Genesis. We'll go back to Genesis and see if we can get an understanding somewhat, and not just Genesis, I'm going to go to different places, and get an understanding of chapter 17. Because 17 begins, and I tried to come up with something, and this is the best I could do. So if it helps you, fine. If it don't, that's okay too. One is demolition. Everybody knows what demolition is, right? Well, you know, when you're building a house and you're going to remodel a house, you got to demo it first. You got to blow it up first, sort of, so to speak, right? Well, what God's going to do is the system that Satan is using He's going to blow it up. So you get demolition and you get destruction. He's going to deconstruct what Satan uses. Now, I told you that if it's that way at the end, it must have got its origin or its beginning to start, right?
That's right.
So let's look and see if we can see where it all started. So that's why we're at Genesis chapter 11. And everyone in here, if I told you to close the Bible, everyone in here could tell me this story. Everyone. Because it's been told and taught and preached and read about. But we're going to start there. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Now, does the Bible say this about children of God? That we are one with Christ. These people were powerful because they were one. One in thought, you'll see that. One in language. There was no conflation. There was no one that was confused. Please, I'm just trying to teach. Now, I'm not trying to diminish anything. Or isn't it difficult to do a job when you can't understand what the other person's saying?
Yeah.
I have trouble telling them how I want my toenails cut. I love them. I've been with the same person, gosh, for years. I still can't understand. I just say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Than the word they say. It's difficult when you can't understand one another. That's why God gave us as His children one language. Right here. You don't get conflated when you stay right here. You don't get confused when you stay right here. But when you try to go astray of that, He says, for He's not the author of
confusion.
So they had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. Now, I want you to, if you make notes in your Bible, I want you to move somewhere close to that and write Babylon. Because Shinar and Babylon are synonymous. If you see Shinar in the Bible, you'll know he's talking about Babylon. Now, Babylon is two things. It's historical, which means what? That it's real. It's literal. It was a literal city. But it's also prophetic. What does that mean? It's a spiritual city. It's a spiritual city. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn it thoroughly. In other words, make it well. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said. Now notice it's they said. You get in trouble when it's what you say. I get in trouble when it's what I say. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and I'm going to read this in my terms. You can see what it says. Go to, let us build us a city, and let us build us a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, what they failed to realize was one thing. God knows your imaginations before you imagine them, my friend.
Right. Yeah.
This is what they imagined to do. Their problem was what?
Pride.
Well, that's true. But their problem was they were doing it for themselves. I'm going to give you one word to describe that ideology. Starts with an R. The next letter is E. The next letter is L. Shouldn't have to go any farther. Religion. Religion is for man by man. Just look around the world, folks. You've got untold number of religions. In one religion alone, there's a billion gods. So I don't want to be associated with a religion. I want to be associated with God.
Amen.
You say, but Tom, that is a religious person. I don't want to be a religious person.
Right.
I want to be a godly person. See, that's the one. The other is more than one. The other is whatever you want it to say. Now, in other words, people will say this, well, I'm not a Christian. I'm Jewish. I practice Judaism. Well, we can't have either one. We can't have religions. You'll see that in just a second. God doesn't honor religion. So, and the Lord came down to the city and the tower. Now, you know that that's just language for us. God doesn't have to come down anywhere, folks. So I'm going to read it to you the way I think it goes. And God looked down and saw. Because God sees everything. He doesn't miss anything. You know, religion says this. Religion says that, well, God's just up there and he doesn't really care about what we're doing down here as long as we try to be good people. That's damnable. God does care. They're going to see that in just a second. Well, if it was in the beginning that way, and God says, I change not, I bet you it's that way today. And I say, bet you, I shouldn't have said that. Scratch that, as they say in court. Scratch that. I would tell you that it's that way today. Because God changes not. So he says, and the Lord said, behold, the people is, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Where did they get this imagination? Where did they come up with this idea? Huh? From the same person that gave Eve her imagination. That if you, God really didn't mean what God said, and you can go ahead and eat that apple. My words. It goes back to the thread, folks. This is the origin. This is the beginning of Satan using religion to get people to think they can do it themselves. We can build. We can go. No, you can't. We can't do nothing. I know that's not correct English. We can't do anything without God. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language. What do you see there?
Confusion.
Do you see mercy in that? Do you see any mercy in that? Well, he could have let them keep right on going, thinking that they're going to build this tower up to heaven, which they weren't. He said, no, I'm going to go down. I'm going to put a stop to it. So he went down and he gave them different languages. To where when they said, bring me mortar, they brought him brick. When they said, bring me brick, they brought him mortar. You get the idea. He stopped the work. A cease and desist order was given. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Has anyone ever said to you, or have you ever said to anyone, you're just babbling? I can't. In a word you say, you're just babbling. Well, that's where the word comes from. Babel. Confusion. There is no, yes. That's plural, isn't it? That's very observatory. Observatory. That is good, honey. That is good. So he says, so the Lord scattered them thence upon the face of all the earth, and they to build. Well, I don't know. It's probably me. I'm in and out. That's why today, I told you it's unchanging, right? That's why today, if you go to another country, that country's primary language is not yours. That's like in this country. We did have a primary language in this country. I think it should be mandatory. Look, I don't mean that in a wrong way. But I think if you're going to be a citizen of this country, your primary language should be English. So that we can understand one another. That's just me. It causes confusion when it's not that way. So God stopped that by confusing their language. Now, look if you will at Psalms 106. Psalms 106. Just going to read two verses. Well, no, I can't. I'll have to read a few. I'll start in 31. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife. Talking about Israel now. They angered him also of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake. Made Moses sick. I'll just put it that way for you. You know, it ought to make us sick when something's contrary to God. It ought to make us sick. Because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. Remember that? God says, listen, I have given you this land. It's flowing with milk and honey. I want you to go in and destroy everyone. They didn't do that. They went in and started marrying them. Well, let's see the problem. But were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a... Yea, they sacrificed their sons and daughters unto... Now, you may not agree with this, but I'm going to tell you it's scriptural. Any worship other than what this book here says is worship to Satan and devils. I don't care what you put on it. I don't care how you paint it, how you say it. God says it's worship of devils. Paul said the same thing in Corinthians, that they worship devils. The wrong kind of worship is worship to Satan. Well, isn't that what Satan wanted all along? Wasn't that what he said when he took Jesus up on the mountain? If you will fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms of mine. And Jesus said this, it is written. Listen, it's written, folks. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. S-E-R-V-E, latruo. Worship. Any worship other than how God has said to worship is not worship to God, it's worship to devils and to Satan. I know that's harsh, because there's so much, even today on a Sunday, you could go in a lot of churches today and they say they're worshiping God when what they spout, worship Satan. And I'm telling you right now, God's seeing it. And God's angry over it. If I could say it this way, he's fuming mad. Look, if you will, at Isaiah. Now, I've given you this, but I'm just trying to get you to remember a few things. Isaiah 14. Verse 9. Now he starts off by talking here. He's saying that for the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will not choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And go on, go on. And he says, for thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Now what did I tell you about Babylon? It's historical and it's spiritual. It's prophetical. Well, here he's talking about both. You'll see that. He's talking, first of all, literally. He says, thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the ruler. In wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee and the cedars of Lebanon sing, since thou art laid down, no fellow is come up against us. Hail from beneath is moved for there for thee to meet thee at thy coming. If it stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations, and they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Now he's changing, isn't he? He's no longer talking about the human king of Babylon. Because he comes up here and he says, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, a worm is spread under thee, and the worm covereth thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O? What's he saying there? Somebody help me out. What's going on here? Listen. You're going to see when I get over to Revelation that all the great kingdoms of that time around that area, all the great kings were under the influence, under the leadership, under the control, and under the direction of one king, Lucifer. Make no mistake about that. All the religion, starting back at Babel, all they had was their imaginations. Was whose imagination? Who gave them the imagination that they could build their own way to heaven? Well, it had to be him, because his own idea was he could rise above God. Well, that was damnable then. It's damnable now. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my... Notice the pronouns are the same pronouns of those at Babel. It was all about him. The one thing that I'm afraid of, and you may not understand this, and I don't want you to take it wrongly, please. But the one thing I fear about coming in here into this place of worship is that we would diminish this place of worship. I don't want to ever lose the solemnness with which I come in here with. And I don't say that towards me. Please don't take it that way. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you my own fears. I don't want to come in here and offer up to God something other than what God's told me to offer up. It's a fear I have. Look, if you will, at Ezekiel 28. All familiar with you, I know, but just reminding.
Give me the number again.
28. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a... Now, was he saying that literally? In his heart. You see, that's what we've... You know, sometimes we forget that. Man looks upon the outside. God looks upon... It was this Prince of Tyrus' heart that God was looking at. And it was in his heart that he thought he was a god. He was good enough himself. That's damnable. Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God in the midst. Is that not what the Antichrist said in Thessalonians, folks? That he set himself up as God to be God? Where is this man getting his imaginations from? Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten the riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of the richness. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee. He's talking to a literal man who thought that he was good as God. And he says, I'm going to show you something, son. I'm going to bring judgment on you. I'm going to put the hammer on you. Now, I don't ever want to lose sight of God's love and God's grace and God's mercy and God's goodness, His greatness, and His great salvation. But I don't ever want to forget that God's a vengeful God too. And His wrath is as much as His love. His hatred for sin is as great as His love for sinners. Verse 10, thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the... Now, who was he speaking to first?
The prince.
Well, last time I checked, a king's higher than the prince. The king is what the prince wants to be. So who's over this prince? This king. Well, let's see who the king is. Son of man, take up the lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sun full of wisdom and in perfect beauty. Thou hast been in... Well, I don't think you can read that any other way and say he's talking to Satan again. Satan was behind the king of Babylon, and he's behind the king of Tyrus, and he's behind every king, bless God, that thinks they're God. Because that's who he thinks he is, and that's who he thinks he can be. But he's going to be brought down. And the Bible says this, that they shall walk by the pit in where he's at and say, is that the man? Is that what caused us all this trouble? Look, if you will, at Jeremiah. You say, Jeremiah what? I don't know. No, look at, yeah, is it Jeremiah 40. I'm almost sure that's what, if I see it, I'll know it. Don't you worry. Don't get nervous. I'm glad this is not on YouTube. Or my tube. Chapter 44. I missed it. I knew where to go. I just didn't know what number. Verse 15. Then all the men which knew their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto it. That's the mindset of religious people. Say, were they religious? Well, let's see if they were. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto
queen.
You say, who was the queen of heaven? Well, it's Semiramis. The religion that was started in Babylon. Semiramis evidently had a virgin child whose name was Tammuz. And so you think I don't know. I'll get there. Don't you worry. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven and to pour our drink offering unto her as we have done, we, our fathers, our kings, and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of victual. We had plenty to eat then. When we was offering it to the Queen of Heaven, he says, we ain't doing what God says. We're going to do what the Queen of Heaven says because she's been blessing us. And were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things. We've lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. No, they weren't consumed by the sword and by the famine because they stopped worshiping the Queen of Heaven. They were that way because they did worship the Queen of Heaven. They didn't even know. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Would you say that's superstitious? You know, that's no different, folks, than carrying a four-leaf clover. That's no different. And I say this with all respect. That's no different than carrying a rosary and thinking that if you can do a rosary and count beads on a rosary, that it's going to help you. We better start calling what it is what it is. You're either worshiping God or you're worshiping Satan. There is nowhere in the middle. And you'll worship God one way. Last time I checked, he told the woman at the well, the day cometh and now is when thou shalt worship the Lord, worship God in spirit and in truth. No other way. And I don't care what church you attend. I don't care what your preacher or teacher says. Anything other than that's worship to Satan. And you can make it look good, you can make it sound good. But God don't think it looks good. You say, come on, Tom. That can't be true. That surely can't be right. And there came one of the, I'm in Revelation 17 now. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. Now I'll guarantee you there's not a lady in here, and I say lady with great respect, that'd want to be called a whore. Vulgar term. But that's what God saw. God didn't pull no turns. He said, I'm going to show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now later he's going to tell you the waters is humanity. You know, peoples, nations, and tongues. With whom the king, and he's going to tell you that the woman is a great city. But it's far to a great city. Because remember I told you there's two sides to it. There's a historical side and there's a prophetical side. And he's going to deal with the prophetical side, and he's going to deal with the spiritual side of it. He says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The word fornication there simply means this. And I'm talking, I know my language will be rough this morning. I get that, but it's rough stuff. Okay? So just bear with me. The word fornication means that a woman that would commit a married woman that would commit adultery. And there's no one in here that doesn't know what a whore is. A whore is a woman or a man that would sell themselves for illicit sex to profit off of it. Well, there's no one in here that thinks that's a pretty thing, or that's a good thing, or that's a wholesome thing. So I guess God don't see any of that things that he's getting ready to judge as wholesome or pretty or right. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine. This false religion, and that's what it's talking about. It's talking about Satan's religion. It's God like they're drunk. If you've never been drunk, you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't think straight. You don't think right. Your reflexes are off. You get in trouble. Well, let me tell you this. Any worship other than to God will get you in trouble. Serious, serious trouble. Remember now, this is the end. He's revealing what started at Babel. The imagination of men that are controlled by Satan. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. You know, that's some indication right there, isn't it? Anything go good in the wilderness? It's called a wilderness for a reason. You'll struggle in the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of having seven heads and 10 horns. Now all you have to do is go back to previous chapters and you'll see the dragon described that way, Christ described that way. Well, what does that tell you? This church, my friend, belongs to him because it's riding on him. It's associated. I mean, look, you can't ride a, anybody in here ride a horse? I don't. Dan, I wish Dan's up here. Boy, he tells all about horses. Okay, go on forever. You ride a horse. How do you control that horse?
With its mouth.
With a bridle, right? You want it to go one way, you pull and you pull. And if you want to go faster, you put them spurs in, you know, dig in the spurs. Am I doing this okay?
You're doing great.
And the faster it goes, the more you have to hold on, right?
Let's control you.
Well, that's what happens when you ride the wrong one. I'm going to show you that. In here. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Now, I'm going to give you two guesses of where else those colors are mentioned, and one of them you ought to get. Wasn't that what on Christ? Trying to make his religion look like the real thing. I mean, because, listen, God done said she's a whore. God done said she's committing fornication. God done said she's an adulteress. But that ain't the way the world saw her. Here's how the world sees her. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. My goodness, that's a pretty good, I mean, that looks pretty good, doesn't it? But it didn't stop there. In that cup, where they don't show you what's in the cup, but God tells you what's in the cup. In the cup is this: abominations and filthiness of her fornication. The word filthiness, sir, is an interesting word in the Greek. It means, first of all, it means to be impure. Now, that certainly fits with what we're talking about, wouldn't you say? But the second thing it means is demonic. Now, that's not by, just a coincidence. I told you that any worship other than how God told you to worship is worship to devils or demons or Satan. So here we see Satan is the beast, the Antichrist. And now we see that what she's doing is demonic. Folks, it is demonic to worship any other way than how God said for us to worship, or in the same condition that God says to worship, which is in spirit. And I'm telling you right now, if Christ is not your Savior, if you've not been born again, if you're not in the family of God, you don't have the Spirit. I don't care. You might have emotion. You might have excitement. You might have a lot of things. But without the Spirit, you're not worshiping. And if you try to, it's just going to be worship to Satan. I know that's harsh, but that's true. And I know the world don't want that, but that's true. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon. Where it all began now. All the false religion started there. That's why he names it. It started there. It's going to end there. Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of... Now, come on. It doesn't... Listen, there's not a... You don't have to be a scholar, a theological scholar, to understand what that just said. She's not only a whore, but she's having children that'll turn out to be whores. That's who she, not fathers, but mothers. Well, isn't that how we become in the family of God? Aren't we born by the Spirit? And aren't we in Christ? And isn't that what true worship is? Just the opposite. The mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She mothers everything of Satan. And I know that it looks good sometimes under the guise of religion. But when you dig down deep, you're going to find out it has nothing to do with God. And God sees it. And God's going to judge it. So he says, come here, I'm going to show you the judgment of this. And so he comes on down and he says, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. Now, why would it say saints and martyrs of Jesus there? But why would it use those two terms? Think. Why would it use those two terms? Where did I start? Where did I start? Thank you. Is that the Old Testament?
Yes, sir.
That's the saints, my friend. And the martyrs of Jesus is the New Testament. It hasn't changed from the beginning to now. It's the same, he says. She has the blood on her hands of those who chose to follow after Christ. You say, I don't know about that. Well, you don't know about that. Here's what it says. And the angel, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I couldn't take my eyes off of her. I just kept looking. That's what it means. I wondered. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. And the beast that thou sawest was, is not, and shall ascend out of the bottom. Haven't we already seen that? Now look, I don't know. It can't be. Did you run the clock up on me? I'm done. I'll come back next week. Oh, mercy. I can't go that fast.